Hey everybody, it's Wednesday night. It's Two Legs, the live edition, and it's another edition of Ranking the Tracks. And once again, we're live. It's Tom Hunyadi, it's Andy Nichols, and man, another week just flew by, Andy, huh?
Another week flew by, and we are here for volume 18
You believe
off
that?
the ground, man.
Yes, man, off the ground. Crazy.
We're just gonna give it a minute here. Hold on to make sure everything works. Chat, Windows. I think everything's working here. I think I see somebody there. Let's move this over. Hold on here. There's me, music sound gear. There's one of our regulars.
All right.
Oh, and there's Hudson. Hi, Hudson.
Hey, Hudson, Oliver, what's going on?
Hello, icons. Okay. Nice that he thinks of us as
Oliver's got
icons.
a little wit to him there.
Well, thank you, Oliver. So, yeah, the chat seems to be working. We're signed in. We're on. We're live. We'll give it a few minutes to catch up with everybody.
2 to 12 are probably easier. Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
I'm sure they were.
Yep.
I'm gonna make a believer out of him out of this record yet.
Eventually. We'll see.
Yeah, but because we're doing the Canon albums, we're flying through pretty quick. If we were doing everything, if we were doing live albums and all the other different albums and the Fireman
Right.
stuff and the compilations, we would be, we would only still be in the probably the
80
70s or 80s,
still.
eighties,
Yeah,
probably the
exactly.
80s. But
But
there's some good ideas, to do like the should we rank the compilation albums? That'd be a good one to do,
yeah,
maybe.
I mean, we've got plenty of stuff we can do after this is done,
Yep. Hello,
Hey,
hello there,
Tom.
Tom Brennan. Good evening.
Good to see you, my friend.
Yep, thanks for popping on.
Yep.
So this was a busy week for Tom because he had his Talk More Talk show Monday night where they reviewed Zoom In, Zoom Out, of which I'm a big fan. I did not have good expectations for that, but
I know you didn't. Yeah, you had some choice words
initially, what when it was announced?
initially. Yeah, before you listened to it. Yeah.
But I really dig it. I dig all five songs. And
Oh, good.
you guys did a great episode on
Oh,
that.
thank you. Thank you.
So that was very, very, very enjoyable seeing everybody talk about
Yeah.
that.
Rank the mullets. Hey, Susan, good to see you.
Yeah. James Boyce, good evening, sir. Hi, Susan. I don't want to hire a mistress and maid after hearing Tom's thoughts. Top t Yeah, Hudson digs this one.
I know he does. That's good. I'm happy about
Oh,
that.
there's the shadow. There he
Shadow
is.
Productions.
There he is.
Uh-oh. How you doing, Shadow?
Oh boy, only the shadow knows, right? That's
Okay,
an in joke.
fair enough.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so before we get started, I gotta picked
Yeah.
up a couple things this week in the mail. One
When
thing,
don't you?
yeah, right, exactly. It's like seems like once a week something's coming in, but glad to get this. This is the January 74 Rolling Stone issue. I really like how this is. It's like a newspaper back then, you know what I
Is
mean?
that the first time you've actually seen a real copy of that?
Well, of this one,
yeah, but Rolling,
yeah,
but those mag
true.
those it was like a real legit
Yeah,
newspaper.
I mean, because I didn't really collect the Rolling Stones until like in the late 80s. You know what I mean? And
And
by that time, it was more magazine. By that
even by
time, it was
then it
like
was more
magazine.
magazine.
Yeah.
That was when Rolling Stone was really a good
Yeah.
journalistic
Right.
publication on
Yeah.
music, only on music.
Right. Yeah. And going back and look at some of the ads are pretty cool.
Yeah,
You
amazing.
know? Yeah. So good stuff.
Was
So got that.
it expensive?
No. It was like $12, I think.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I grabbed the 76 one ages ago,
Yeah, and
so
then some young guy, some kid, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, but he sent me this. But Beatles by, yeah, the Nicholas Schaffner book. So looking forward to digging into this. So thank you, Andy, for sending this my way.
you're welcome. I had,
Yes.
like I said, I had three copies, so I said,
Yeah.
well, I said my partner in crime could use this one. And I,
Right.
as an avid researcher and student of the Beatles' literary works, anything pre-1980 you can get your hands on is
Right.
worth reading. And I think our friend Ken Womack would agree and attest to that statement because
Right.
the literature takes such a different change in direction after Lennon's passing. So,
Right.
you
That's
know,
true.
if you're into that stuff, it's really worth seeking out. Nicholas Schaffner's book. It's like a Beatles Bible. I'm sure some of our older viewers have seen that book. It's really, it was a Bible in many ways before Lewison's first edition popped up there in 88.
Right. Yeah, Ethan did a great job with the thumbnail. You're right, Oliver. Thank you for that. Yeah, and thank you for watching that interview I did with Hudson over at I Know I Know. So I did Hudson, our buddy Hudson. He's got the I Know I Know podcast, solo Beatles podcast, video cast, whatever you want to call it. So my episode is up there now. So if you haven't checked it out, please head over to I Know I Know on YouTube and check that out. And then Andy, he hung out with Mayo for a couple hours, it seemed like.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah. So he put up an hour's worth of that chat on his YouTube channel. So check out Andy on Mean Mr. Mayo's YouTube channel for I think he called it what, a John and John and Paul.
He called it Joe called it Beatle something or other.
Right.
But basically, it was basically a continuation of our conversation after the part two of Best Friend with Anthony Rotunno.
Right, because Mirror Image Paul. I mean, he liked the episode. So he wasn't
crazy about the content. He didn't, but he enjoyed the episode. Right. So
right. So yeah. Okay. So off the ground. Off the ground. Okay. So we've talked about this a couple times already. So we're not going to go too crazy into detail with the songs. But if you want, you can check out our episode we did with Joe Mayo December or something like that. I think that was like episode 99 or something like that. And then we interviewed the co-producer Julian Mendelson a few months back too. So you guys can check that out as well. So
That was back in September. So yeah, we've covered we've covered it quite a bit. You know, this album, our thoughts on it. So we've dissected, and this is going to be a much easier episode to rank. There's only 12 tracks to rank. Somebody said, how are we going to rank Cosmically Conscious? We're not going to rank Cosmically Conscious because it's its own track as a non-album B-side.
Right.
On this sucker.
Right. So we'll do later. Right, we're going to ignore Cosmically Conscious because it was just a snippet at the end of Come On People, and we'll add that to the 90s non-album tracks because it was a B-side, the full-length version, so we'll have that in the rankings then. Yeah, Joe, good to see you, my friend. Glad you're here.
Hi, Joe. Ethan
we're just says, talking.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. Ethan said Mayo went live, ?
But yeah, right, me live, yeah. But we were just talking about Andy's appearance on I think he called it Beatles Lounge
that's what he called it. Beatles Lounge, yes.
Yeah, and then I had a great time with Joe on his Fab Gab ranking Rubber Soul, which is an album that I absolutely adore, and it's one of those albums that kind of gets lost in the shuffle there with Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, White Album, Abbey Road.
But you probably, as I recall, you know the UK over the US, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up with the UK version. So, I mean, when I started buying the albums and cassettes and CDs, I mean, it was all UK. So, okay, let's go. Let's shoot this. Let's shoot.
Yeah,
this
let's get off the ground and let's start. So this is your week.
Yeah,
my week
to start. And I'm gonna go with my 12. I'm gonna go with Mistress and Maid, one of my least favorites of the McManus McCartney collaboration. This song has never done much to me. The production, I think I like the least on this than any of the other songs on here. And you know, there's a little bit of nice bass playing like in the middle, but there's not enough of it. You know, I mean, it's kind of cool here and there, but it's there's not enough of it. And lyrically, I've never really cared for this song either. So my 12 is Mistress and Maid.
Wow. Okay. I think we're going to have a very different rankings for this episode.
Good.
I think they're going to be very, very different.
Yeah.
My number 12 is Peace in the Neighborhood.
Oh.
Too long of a song, meanders, kind of fades off into obscurity. And again, I'm going to put the Andy disclaimer on this thing, and I think it goes to the same thing for Tom. We like all these songs.
Right.
It's just some we like a lot more than others. There's not one track on here that I would ever skip. In fact, I don't.
Okay.
Just what do we like more than others? Which, again, I sound like a broken record, but
it's
this is what it is. So Peace in the Neighborhood, somebody just said John Marino said plotting. Yeah. It's plotting. It just I think it just goes too far. Ethan said this song just creeps me out.
Yeah.
But this, okay, this song is just way too long, way too meandering, and that's why it's my number 12. You're up.
All right. My number 11 is Peace in the Neighborhood. Yeah, it's, again, for the reasons you said, I mean, it's just one that, again, has never, I was attracted to, you know, all of these kind of statement songs or political songs, or, you know, I'm going to sing about, you know, peace, or I'm going to sing about the animals, I'm going to sing about, you know, whatever on this album. This one is one of my least favorites on the album. And
trying too hard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think he's trying too hard on a lot of these tracks, to be honest with you. But Peace in the Neighborhood is my 11.
Or we can call it, as James Boyce says here, Peas in the Neighbor's Dog, which it could be. It's meandering. Adam, Andy, what versions of Off the Ground do you have on CD? Complete Works, the original, Japanese, two CDs. So, yeah.
Take your pick.
Don Maley, a big yawn. The whole album. A lot of people feel that way.
It's got its fans, though. It does have.
Which we have a few watching, and of which, yes, one of your co-hosts is a big fan.
Yeah, there you go.
Number 11.
All right, number 11 is for you, right?
For me. I owe it all to you at number 11. Yeah.
Yeah, our lists are going to be really different.
I knew that as soon as you said your first song. I'm just going to give you a little hint on where that song is going to be for me. I owe it all to you. I like the flutes in the beginning of it. Other than that, I don't really like it. Again, nice sentiment. These songs are just buried in the middle of the album, and the first half of the album and the bottom half of the album, I think, are much better and stronger. Sorry, Tom Brennan. A nice tribute to the Summer of Love of 67. Well, it was 93 by then, so, you know. That's my 11.
Okay, 10 for me, top 10 now. Looking for Changes. Song, you know, it rocks well. But again, it's what he's singing about. I don't want, you know, animal testing or anything like that. But I mean, he doesn't make me care enough to, you know, to get in the fight with them. You know what I mean? It's just, lyrically, I don't care for it. But I mean, it would have been a great song if he had, you know, rock and roll lyrics to it, you know, and not, you know, not a protest song or something like that.
Yeah, it's got a nice chorus though in hook, you know.
Yeah.
It's got a nice. I mean, but again, the political messages in it kind of weigh it down a little bit.
Right.
That's of its day, you know. It was such a charged politically album, you know. Plus the B sides, Big Boys Bickering, and everything else, which we'll get to in the, you know, when we do the '90s tracks. Looking at your 10. Okay.
Yep.
Number 10 for me is Biker Like an Icon. I actually really, really like the song a lot. Playing with words, Biker Like an Icon. It's a nonsense lyric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, again, it just doesn't work. But I like, musically, I like it. I really like how the song ends. You know, Love Biker Like an Icon, and it just fades out. I always dug that part of the song. And again, some of these songs he played live a lot. He played Biker on that. He played Peace in the Neighborhood. Hope of Deliverance. Come on, People. Yeah. Paul should stay away from political songs. Marcus Thompson said that. Yeah, you know what? And we've talked about this on previous shows. Paul dips his toe in the water with political songs. Right. John jumps into the ocean deep with
right. Me. There you go.
And that's it.
I like Joe here. Looking for Changes gets points for Paul singing about something different from love.
Good point.
Yeah,
because you see, I mean, and remember, when you look at the CD booklet, you see the picture of the cat with the machine in its
brain. Right.
I was a younger fan when this came out, and I bought it. And that resonated with me. I was like, don't know what he's talking about, but there's something, you know, politically going on here, social comment.
Right.
All
right. Number 9 for me is Biker Like an Icon, so I like it a little bit more than you do. But yeah, I think it's fine. You know, I don't mind for this one. I don't mind the the lyrics to it. And I don't mind the biker like an icon part. And I think there's some really good guitar playing from Robbie on this song. And
yeah,
you know, and it was a fine video. And you know, it does well. I think there's like a Mexican 45 of this promo or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen it before on Discogs and on eBay. So, it goes for a pretty penny. But someone's out there that might know about this one, about that. But yeah, Bike Like Icon is fine. I think it's a mid-tempo rocker. I don't think it really is a true rocker, but it's in the sense of like
Junior. It has that Paperback Writer feel to it, you know?
Maybe.
But like a little bit. It just feels like, you know, not that it's Paperback Writer, but it has that kind of delivery, you know? I've always felt that way a little bit. Biker, yeah. But Biker has a great solo and love the outro. Gary Kagan, right. Yeah. Love the outro.
Right.
Love the outro on Biker.
All right. 8 for you, buddy.
No, 9 for me.
9, okay, sorry.
9 for me. 9 for me is Get Out of My Way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Feels a little bit out of place on this album. Again, it's the perfect crank the radio, driving the car fast. It's that song. Played the hell out of it live, promoted it, saw it on Saturday Night Live. He played it with that, but he played it then again.
Right.
Is it on the live album? Is it on Paul's live? No, I don't think it is.
Which one?
Get
Out of My Way. No, because he only did it for that up close show.
That's right. Which our friend Joe is at.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, he played it there. He played it on SNL.
Yep.
Good lyrics. A lot of horns, a lot of brass on that track, which are enjoyable. Again, I like all these songs, but it's okay. Just tries a little too hard. You know, it's like, oh, I'm purposely trying to do a rock song. Got
right.
it. We got you, Paul.
All right. Okay, so 8.
8.
Now, if this version of this song was anything near as good or great vocally that was on the Flowers in the Dirt box set, this would be my number 1, without a doubt. And but this version of The Lovers That Never Were, for me, is just middle of the road. I can't stand what he did with this song. I don't, you know, the how powerful and raw he sang that song in the demo form.
He still sings it powerfully though.
It's nowhere near as good as he did for those demos.
Agree, disagree.
Yeah, well, fine, but. But I mean, if we got that, if he kept those vocals and then tagged it on to whatever production he did afterwards. Oh my God, for me it would have been a killer tune, but I got The Lovers That Never Were at number 8.
Okay, number 8 for me. Tom's already mentioned it. Looking for Changes, good rocker, not so great lyrics. Paul politically just dabbling his foot in the water. It just again right. tries too hard. But I do like the chorus and I like that. It's the only part of the song it's too much. It's too much with the, you know, it just doesn't, he's not very believable with some of these songs, you know, and he just tries too hard. He's better sticking to ballads and acoustic stuff and rockers, not so much like this. So, that was my 8.
Okay.
7 for you.
7. Well, we talk about, songs that maybe tried too hard on this album. This song, I think, is another example of trying too hard, and that's Come On People at 7. I think it just tries too hard to be this big, big production, big sing-along song in the same vein as like Hey Jude. I know a lot of people called this song the Hey Jude of the 90s, you know, for Paul. But I mean, it's you know, again, I mean, production wise it's okay, but yeah, we're going to get it right this time. Yeah, where we're going to really going to, you know, it's you know, again, I just think he's still in fine voice.
But 4 minutes of na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na is okay?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to this song hundreds of times. You know what I mean? And it still absolutely does nothing for me.
Okay.
I mean, it's middle of the road. Again, it's middle of the road for me on this album.
Right. But you, again, you were never really a big fan of the album to begin with. So, well, as a whole, as a whole.
As a whole. As a whole. As a whole. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number seven for me is.
Oh, Susan. I just killed Susan's. I'm sorry, Susan. I'm sorry.
Susan will like where I have it ranked.
Okay.
It's not the same. It's not the same as Susan, but it she'll right. she'll like it more than your ranking.
Right.
Number seven for me, the hit single off the album, Hope of Deliverance.
Mm.
That's my number seven.
Wow. Okay. See, I thought you would have had this higher.
Yeah. I was, again, those of you who saw our Facebook post earlier today, I was about 4 o'clock. I was still struggling with this list at work. And I found some inspiration. We saw some great rankings from some of our viewers, which was cool. So thank you. You helped me a little bit place mine. I took some from some list, some from another list, threw my own in. Hope of Deliverance, yeah. I want to say it's might be slightly overrated. You know, it's a great song. But there's other songs on this album that are better.
Right.
And it's great that it was a big bona fide hit. I remember hearing it everywhere in 93, the video. I just think it's a tad overrated. I think there's other songs.
He did a lot of TV appearances with this song. I don't think he did anything here. I don't know. Well, he did it live, I know. But he did a lot of TV appearances promoting this song.
And didn't he play this again live not too long ago? A couple of years ago, he played this live. Maybe. Somebody would have to check.
Right.
I know he played this over the last 4 or 5 years once or twice. He definitely did. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people shocked at my ranking. They thought I'd have it at number one. No, I think people are going to be shocked when they get to my couple top rankings, but I love this album. So,
right.
Mayo. And he's like all these songs. Tom. No, not Tom. He's unimpressed all the way.
But, but the thing is, a few of these songs have really grown on me, and I'll get to that.
No, it only took you 30 years.
Well, it is what it is, you know. When you're used to steak, you know, and then all of a sudden you get chopped liver, I mean, you got to. It takes a while to get used to it.
What if you thought this was steak the minute you heard it?
Well, then, I mean, I would have had a harder time like you did ranking it.
Carlos says, he says, Tom don't like this album, period.
Yeah. I don't like some of the songs. Listen, we've talked about this before. You know, if you add some of those B-sides, this album would have been a masterpiece in my opinion.
Agreed.
These sessions had every bit of potential to be a masterpiece of an album, in my opinion. But, you know, I just think he put the wrong songs on the album.
I played it in 2012 and soundcheck. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Brendan. Yeah.
All right. Number six.
Where we leave off, you or me?
Six. Did you do your seven?
Hope was my seven. You're up.
Okay. Six. Okay. This is where the point where I love all of these songs now. So, okay. my six is one of the first of the three ballads, I Owe It All to You. Again, I think it's one of his better ballads. I don't think it's like in the tier of Maybe I'm Amazed or No More Lonely Nights, but I think it's a good enough ballad. And I think, you know, he sings I Owe It All to You. I think he does that very well. The verses I think are fine. Choruses are good. And
almost sounds like the beginning of that song is, and I don't know, we'd have to check. It sounds like he's using a Mellotron.
No, I think that was. I think that was Linda that opened the song.
You know, that sounds almost like the Mellotron.
And we talked about that, right.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about that with Joe on the Off the Ground episode.
That's, you know, a fair ranking.
Yeah, I like Last Night You Helped Me Through, took me to the Lover Zone. I kind of like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that was your six?
Yeah, that was my six.
Okay. My number one is the title track. Not number one. Number six. Number six is my number one is the first song on the album.
Okay.
Off the Ground. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
we got really different lists.
What?
Our lists are totally different.
They are, but that's good. I know Tom Brennan and I know some people think that historically I have put the title tracks of the albums as my number one, which I've done. But yeah. I didn't do that with this one. I did that for a few albums, Tug of War, Pipes of Peace. Not this one. You know, I remember like thinking, okay, this is hip, it's current, this, you know, but funky video, and flying yeah. around in the purple pants. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I think it was like one of the last songs written for the album. It's catchy. I like it. Yeah, I love it as an opener. It rocks. It, you know, it really kind of kicks going with the guitar lick. Great right. playing from Robbie on it. Again, you can hear Linda on it. You know, for the first time, Andy's One is not the title track. That's not correct, Hudson. That's not correct. I didn't rank Venus and Mars as number one. And I didn't rank...
Band on the Run.
I didn't rank Band on the Run as my number one. So
there you go.
C minuses for you too. You're not four. Yeah. But Off the Ground is my one.
Oh.
It's my six. I keep saying one.
Wow. Yeah. That's funny.
Stupid video. Yeah.
All right. Top five. I adore this song, Wine Dark Open Sea. Again, you know, I think he sings this song wonderfully. You know, open up your heart. I mean, that part, you know, if you want to set me free, you know. You know, I feel, I love, I feel love for you now.
Oh, that,
you know?
That change.
Yeah.
That, so it's got, it opens up and then all of a sudden it does that, you know, yep. Oh my, that's, yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Spot on, partner.
Yeah, yeah. So great. Again, a very worthy ballad from Paul. And, you know, that belongs, you know, in the upper tier of ballads. And correct me, I think this one was the on Pierre McCartney.
This one That's made it onto this.
There you go.
This one made it onto Pure.
Yep.
On disc three. And that was like, okay, see, somebody knows this is good for sure.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, good choice, partner. Good choice. Right. Well, I can safely say that we both have that one ranked quite high.
Okay, very good.
So, you and I are pretty much, when it comes to ballads, we're on the same page. It's mm-hmm. the other songs where we're like, right. we're upside down.
Right.
But Christian said it's a little too long. Now, I had said the same thing about Peace in the Neighborhood, how it kind of meanders and drifts off. This is one song, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I agree with, like, to Tom, that it kind of lulls you out, you know, and he says finish it now and it kind of goes right. out again. That that is good. That works right. with this song.
I think,
you know,
so
it's like put you in a trance.
I don't get tired of any of the, because, you know, there's times where, you know, we make fun of Paul for not knowing where to finish a song, you know, or where to end the song.
Yes,
you know,
no, but, and, but
this,
right.
right, this one continues on, and this is one of the songs where I don't mind it you know, lingering or, you know, continuing. So
I couldn't agree with you more. Oh, there's Joe. Love, yeah. More love, more love. Yes, Joe. He sings about love. And John did too. You know, I just go back and check. No, I think on this album here, which I'm going to do a show with Hudson on, you know, it's called Mind right. Games. I think the right. chorus is Love is the Answer. And you know that for sure. Come on, right. Joe. Come on, Joe. Too many people preach and practices. Come on.
All right, where are we at? Did you just do your five or no?
No, you did. You did. Yeah,
Wine Dark Open Sea was my five.
So you're in the top five. My number five yeah. is another ballad. I'm sure Tom's is going to have this ranked pretty close to me as well. Golden Earth Girl is my number five. Almost sounds like the beginning of Warm and Beautiful.
Yeah.
And Maybe I'm Amazed. Yeah. Those chords are the same. You know, now Susan, I think, said that she thinks the lyrics are a little cheesy, eggshell seas.
Yeah.
I understand that, but wonderful, wonderful piano playing on this. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Maybe I'm Amazed almost again, but it's not. Yeah, just a great song. Falsetto is in use on this.
Yep.
Throughout. Yeah. Just thinking about it. I love Golden Earth Girl. You know, it's got that kind of quasi-religious feel to it. I think Tom probably has it ranked similar, if I'm going to guess. Paul's using his Winter Rose voice in Golden Earth Girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe, remember, rule versus the exception. Okay. A lot of people have this at one. John Marino has it at one.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
That's cool. Nice. And again, this was included on that Working Classical tribute to Linda as well. So nice, nice playing on this. So love Golden Earth Girl. Absolutely.
Yep. Cool.
You're up.
All right. Number four for me is Golden Earth Girl. I love everything about this song. I think it is the best ballad. Well, it's Wine Dark Open Sea and Golden Earth Girl for me are tops. Yes. I think it's, you know, I think they're way, equally, right? You can go either way. Both of them are, I think, are equally wonderful ballads, you know. And I love The Fish in the Sun being in Eggshell Seas. What does it mean? I don't know, but I love it. I love it. And, you know, I love the opening line, Golden Earth Girl, female animal. I just, you know, sings to the wind, you know, resetting the sunset, you know, is mostly nest, you know, love it. Love everything about this song.
Yeah.
Love, you know, way he sings it, you know. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. I love the orchestration on this one too.
Orchestration, so, which I want to say was done by Carl Davis, I think, on some of these songs.
I think, he did do, I think, two tracks on this.
Yeah. So you see, you and I had Wine Dark and Golden Earth Girl.
Right.
Basically in the same, right. But right, yep. Ranked right there. All right. Number four. That was your four, Tom?
Yeah, that was my four. Yeah.
So my four is Wine Dark. I think I might like Wine Dark just a little bit better than Golden Earth Girl, which is why I had it at four. You know, I feel love for you now at the end of it. You know, that's all just great McCartney singing. Yeah, more love. It's what he sings.
We
try to keep the songs playing in the background just as kind of an audio cue to just keep it up just for a few seconds. That's why we do that. Love Wine Dark, and I love how it got thrown on Pure McCartney. That was like, hey, this is actually, here's a deep album cut getting thrown on a compilation. Those are the things we like to see, right?
Yes.
I know when you opened Pure McCartney, you were like, whoa, Wine Dark's on here. Tom Brennan, Golden Earth Girl is the son of Mother Nature's son. Great analogy. Yeah, Oliver, with only 12 songs, this wasn't going to take long. Last week was a marathon. Last week was The Godfather 2.
Right.
You know? That was like a two-parter. So, but like Tom, the Oh My, I Feel Love For You, Spreading Through My Body, that part of the song kicks ass through and through, and I enjoy the fade-out coda immensely. So that's my number four.
Oh, great. Okay, top three. Now this is one of those tracks that have just over the last 10 years or so just risen in my rankings for this song, and that's "Get Out of My Way." If you put so much time and effort. So much time and effort was put into the song, you know, for like the up close, and they did it on Saturday Night Live. Why he did not continue to do this song during the regular tour, I think it just would have gave that the tour more that energy.
That would have helped this tour out for sure.
And I think it would have been a great opener too, you know, because, you know, he opened what, the 89 with Figure of Eight.
Figure of Eight.
You know, opened the
brand
tour
new
with
album.
This. Yeah.
Oh, but you see, he went safety with Drive My Car. Right.
Yeah.
No, I went just as a side comment. I know it was on our Facebook page earlier. Like somebody said, the 93 tour, and I know that's the first time Tom ever saw him was in 93. Out of all the tours, this one really didn't have the punch. When you look at all the tours, post 76, 89, big ass tour, comeback, you know, tour of the year. You know, 93 is only 4 years later, changes, you know, has a little bit of a band lineup change with Blair replacing Chris. And I mean, some shows didn't even sell out. You wouldn't even know. Now McCartney's the last, you know, 20 years has been on a tear.
Oh yeah. The stadium. I mean, he played the football stadium, and that, I mean, that's like an 80,000 seat, you know, football stadium, the Pontiac Silverdome, and, you know, and we didn't sell it out, but
didn't sell it out. And it's just, maybe it was the early 90s, you know, it was a weird time for rockers, you know, Nirvana and all that, and grunge is everything is everywhere. And here's 52-year-old McCartney playing a kind of eco-friendly, social conscious tour album. And, you know, it maybe didn't resonate with a lot of people. Maybe we're like, there was almost too much McCartney overload because they had that big 89-90 tour.
Right.
3 years later, he's going to come out again. But the songs he played on that tour, the Beatles ones were new. Like he played Penny Lane for the first time.
Oh, Penny Lane, absolutely.
Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah.
So that was cool. You know, I'm sure for you, you saw the show.
Oh, I did. I had a great time, you know. Okay, so that was my three.
That was your three. My number three is Come On People. And those of you that have followed our rankings, you know I like the big production ballad, George Martin type, which I think he's even on this track. He even produced it, right? So I love Come On People. Susan, I hope you like this ranking, Susan. It's not number one, but I've always loved Come On People. I love that it closes the album. I love how it builds up. Yes, is it him trying to do a Hey Jude? Yes, it is. But it, the way it builds and builds and builds, like it starts as this little ballad,
right,
and the orchestration, and it builds and it builds and it builds, boom, and you know, comes. I love all that. I love all that. I love all those characteristics in a McCartney song.
Right.
Especially when it closes an album.
Yeah, like, and Robert S. here, you know, Get Out of My Way sounds better live. Yeah, and that's one of those tracks
yes.
You know, it's good on the studio record, but it just, you know, it's 10 times better live.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. But absolutely love Come On People. That gets a little bit, that grates on the ears a little bit, but not much. I mean, it's just a nice sentiment too, you know.
Oh yeah, sure.
It's a nice sentiment. I've always enjoyed Come On People. I never tire of it at all. So right. That's my number three.
Okay. When I first bought this album, this is one of the songs I couldn't stand. I'm so crazy about the song now, but musically, lyrically, it's fine. But musically, I really love Hope of Deliverance now. It's my number two.
Okay.
But I love it musically. It's so infectious. I mean, it's I hear it and it's you know, stays in my mind just because I just love the way the band plays this song. I think it's really good musically.
Great instrumentation.
Yes, great instrumentation. You know, lyrically, it's growing on me a little bit more.
So you did not like this song?
I couldn't stand this song in 93 when I first bought this album.
Really?
Couldn't stand it, yes.
Wow, maybe so it's, just really because, it's really gross.
I am shocked when I was doing this ranking. I'm like, this can't be right. This cannot be right. I am not putting Hope of Deliverance at number two, but yet I did. And, you know, I'm happy with
it. I don't think a lot of people probably have that ranked very high, and deservedly so. You asked me in a week, and I would have it at two. Somebody who just wanted to catch up on a comment here. Good video. One of Paul's better videos for Come On People. Yes. Love the Come On People video with the change with the time-lapse camera effect. Let's see. Hudson had it as number two. Same as you. There you go. Let's see here. Yeah. Cool. Oh, it changes mine too. So very interesting, Tom, that you really couldn't stand this song when it came
out. Couldn't stand it.
And now it's one of your favorites.
Because you know, every once in a while, I would hear the instrumentation, the production, and would just keep creeping in my mind. And then I would go, man, I gotta listen to this one again, you know. And then then I would listen to it. And I would listen to it again and again and again. And the next thing I know, I mean, the groove. I mean, the instrument. I love it.
No, the funky video where they're in the forest. Yeah. They're in the forest, right?
Yeah, I mean that did nothing for me, but it's the song itself.
Yeah, no. Joe says, "Glad you came to your senses, Tom. Hope is number one." Joe is not gonna like my rankings of number two on this album. I tell you, a lot of people won't. I think might be one or two people that do, but a lot of people aren't gonna like my one and two. But
the Queen said she's glad I saw the light.
You saw the light. Boy. See, well, you got the blessing that she doesn't have to take your head off now. See?
Right. Exactly. Oh, thank you. Oh.
Saved.
I guess.
Okay, so that's your number two.
Hope. That's my number two, yeah.
All right, my number two is Mistress and Maid. I have the Costello tunes. I'm gonna throw a disclaimer. The Costello co-writes are my one and two for this album.
Right.
I think they are absolutely phenomenal tracks, and I think more of them now since the Flowers box. I love the waltz effect in this song. It's a waltz. You know, how many times do you hear Paul McCartney write a waltz? Not too often. Now, and I think it's a great lyric. I think Costello really helped this song. I think Mistress and Maid is a gem of a masterpiece.
Wow, okay.
I think it's phenomenal songwriting. I think it's a fantastic arrangement. The wordplay, the back and forth, all of that. I think it is I think it's one of McCartney's best of all times. I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know, all this, you know, it's like call and response. The call and response is fantastic in this song.
Yeah, I liked that, but I liked it better with Flowers, with you know, with the other one, with
You Want Her Too. What,
You Want Her Too? Yeah.
See, I think Mistress and Maid works way better, way better. And then I think it's a great, and Paul and Elvis played it in '95 together, the only time.
Yeah. Yep.
James, there's somebody else had it at two. James Boyce.
Oh, wow.
Hey, I knew somebody else would have this way up there. I see. I'm not. Yeah. Thank you. Adam has it at 2 also. Double score.
Damn. Well, you know, it, like I said, this, you know, I had
you
a feeling.
You were surprised. You had a feeling what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had a feeling that once we did our number 12s, this was going to be.
We're going to take left turns.
Woo! Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, partner.
All right. My I'm gonna pull an Andy, and I'm gonna have the title track as my number one for tonight. Yeah. So Off the Ground is my favorite song on this. I think it's the catchiest song on the album. I do like the slide guitar, you know, on this album. And man, what a missed opportunity. You know, we all know that George is a huge slide guitar player. It would have been really cool if, you know, he could have said, hey George, why don't you George Harrison, that is, you know, come on and do slide guitar on this track. But Robbie does a great job with the slide guitar on here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only thing that really just ekes me a little bit is just the claps. I mean, that's the only thing I really don't care. But I love, you know, I want love and you want loving too. Doesn't take a lot to get off the ground. La, 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 la. I like all that. I like all of that. I mean, it's cheese central, but I really... you know, I really adore it, you know, and McCartney can do some cheese. I mean, he can put some extra cheese on his
more,
songs.
More, please. More, yeah. More. We'll take it. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised you had this at your one. I didn't think you would, but I thought you might have a ballad in there.
Right.
Settle down. Andy, pull this one back. Well, let me put it to you this way. I just pulled up my iTunes here. Play count. My play count on Mistress and Maid in my iTunes is at 48. I played the track 48 times. It just on my iTunes. So that's, okay. You know, that's like over the course of a 20-year period.
Right.
Off the Ground, number one. I am pleasantly surprised, though. I did not think you'd have that at one.
Yep.
So they're just, you know, the
kind. It's the catchiest. I think, yeah. The only thing that I really don't care for is just the hand clapping thing. But I think it's the catchiest song on the album. Most commercial, in my opinion. You know, I can understand why Hope of Deliverance did so well in European countries. Maybe that just wasn't where I was at that point in time in 93. You
know, a lot of that has to do with where we are in terms of our fandom.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we into? You know, what are we into? So, I mean, this, you know, Off the Ground for me was like, again, I was a younger fan and it was like all things McCartney. So, like, I'm diving in. So, you were a little bit older than me, so you probably were listening to different stuff at that time.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I was really starting to spread my genre wings, if you will. You know, I was just really going off in different directions.
So what were you listening to?
The grunge, I was really starting to get into classical stuff. I was slowly starting to get into jazz as well. But I was at that point in time, I mean, I was a huge heavy metal fan. Huge heavy metal fan.
Wow.
I still am, but not as much as I was then.
But see, but so you were listening to all genres of music, really.
Yeah, for the most part.
So I can see why. See, but there's just so much of a musical palette that one can have.
Right.
You know, if you're listening to, and you have a much more broader, I mean, you're into like, I could never listen to heavy metal ever. Mm. ever. But I have a lot of respect for your taste of music because you listen to pretty much everything. Your taste run the gamut. So the fact that you couldn't squeeze in like an Off the Ground, I'm much more, a little bit more. I like my Beatles and I like my Paul and I like my proggy stuff. And Genesis, but you really run the gamut. So I could see why at that time you were like, I can't do this Off the Ground thing when I'm listening to all this other stuff. So,
Adam, yes, off the Ground was a single, yes, Adam.
It was a single, yeah. And he played that on the Sullivan Show too, the Ed Sullivan Theater Show. So no surprise, my number one is The Lovers That Never Were. I will agree with my co-host that the 88 demo on Flowers in the Dirt, the vocal is superior to this.
I think it is superior, right.
It is. However, out of the 12 songs on this album, I think production-wise, I think his singing is still good on this. I think it's not as good as that demo, because that's legendary. Not even Costello himself said that should have came out.
Yeah,
he wanted that demo. He wanted that to come out as well too.
Yep.
You know, so it's I love how the drums kick in as long as the pre and then you start hearing the drums go back and forth. You know, I think The Lovers That Never Were, yeah, again, that Mistress and Maid, these are two of the better works in Paul McCartney's entire canon that people need to hear. What are you laughing at?
Oh, Joe, last place lovers that never were.
There's a, here we go again, Joe. There's Andy, there's Joe. Boom. Right. Well, you got to let in a McCartney guy. What, you know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oliver had it at three. Okay. Right. There, see, Oliver. Thank you, Oliver. I think it's one of the McCartney's best songs ever. You know, we can't we be lovers, we'll never be friends. Boom, right back into it again. I think that's tremendous production.
I love the line, you know, say something, will you? I love you. I mean, there's just some there's
say goodbye or anything.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There's some really good lyrics in here. It's just that the fact that I don't like the production on that song, and I really wish that the vocals that was on the demo, or else that would have been my number one. I mean, that vocal on that demo is a masterpiece, you know.
Yeah, it is. But Susan likes the drums on it too. The drums on it are awesome.
Yeah. Andy must do Fab Gab for probably for Off the Ground then. Oliver, grunge, heavy metal,
sure, Joe.
Classical jazz. I'll never understand you, Tom. Well, you don't have to, Oliver.
You don't have to, man. That's what he likes. Yeah. You know.
Right.
I mean, I could do a podcast here about, you know, we could do talk about stuff that Tom likes. That's not, you know, that's what makes the world go around. You know, we have lots of different tastes in music. I mean,
that's right.
Tom loves Kiss. I don't like Kiss. I love Yes. I've seen Yes in concert 35 times.
Yeah.
I love Yes almost as much as I love the Beatles. But this is what we share. Yeah. We have a shared passion for things McCartney and Beatles. Yeah. So that's where we connect. So that's what it's about, man.
Yep. Absolutely. So if you guys are new out there, if you're watching and you're new, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd really appreciate it. A couple of weeks back, we crossed the 500 subscriber mark, and now we're still slowly starting to get into the mid 500. So if you're new here, please subscribe. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. So that's off the ground, man.
Yeah.
Next
week we got Flaming Pie. You know, this will be a tough one for me because the bottom half, not so much. I mean, the top half is
tough for me too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple songs that we already know will be at the lower two or three, but other than the top nine songs, that'll be hard.
Exactly. Nine solid tracks on here, you know, absolutely.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, Joe, I'll do a Fab Gab anytime you want. Anytime you have me, I'll be happy to come on. Sure. Thank you.
Shows close to these. Thanks, James.
Is it down by a river though?
Yeah.
I'm joking the last one at that, but
right.
Yeah, we're flying through here. It's like when we do episodes that we kind of do compilation, like we did the 70s tracks,
right?
The 80s tracks. Those are longer shows, but a typical album might be 14 tracks,
right?
You know, we'll zip through them pretty quick because we're not here discussing the history of the album or we're just saying where we like them ranked.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So last Saturday, we posted our episode with Anthony Rotunno. That was part two of our look at the Lennon-McCartney relationship throughout the 70s. We ended at 1973. So when we do part three, maybe we'll be able to get the rest of that show, that series done. This Saturday, I'm really, really happy with our guest. His name is David Ghosty Wills. He's on Facebook. You can look him up there, but he's a DJ in the New York, New Jersey area, 89.1 to be exact. And he's got his own show and plays songs from, this is crazy, songs from 1945 to 1975. I mean, what a wide range of music,
music,
you know,
sure.
Popular music. Absolutely. So David Ghosty, he was on and we talked about the Russian album and Run Devil Run, you know, talking about McCartney going back to his roots two different times. Two different occasions. Yeah, there you go. So that was a lot of fun. That will be posted this Saturday. So looking forward to that.
Somebody asked us, when are we going to do our April announcement of our live about April shows?
Oh, well, maybe April 1st. Maybe.
April Fool's Day.
Yeah, April Fool's.
Yeah.
You know, if Andy and I have time Thursday night, maybe we'll go live and we'll talk about what we have in store for April.
Sure.
Yeah. Love Ghosty. There it is. Yep. Yeah, Mayo is a Ghosty fan.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, guys. I'm glad Andy and I pushed back so I can watch Two Legs. Oh, yeah. Yeah, WFDU 89.1 in New Jersey. Good station, good guy, very knowledgeable. He's got a great radio voice too.
Oh, because doesn't he?
When we met him, when Tom and I did a little pre-show interview with him, I said, this guy's on radio. You can tell right away.
Yep.
So I think you'll enjoy it. We talked for about an hour and 10 minutes about Chopa and Run Devil Run, and we had a really nice chat.
Yeah, I got teased about all the McCartney 3s that I bought and the suitcase.
That'll never get old.
Yeah. No.
Well, let's see. Shadow, is Francesca going to come on? No, Shadow, Francesca's not coming on. Amoeba is opening April 1st. Just for, okay, cool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been to Amoeba there, Oliver?
Have you, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When we used to do shows at the Hollywood Bowl, it's pretty much like less than a mile away from the Hollywood Bowl. So every time we had an opportunity, they would be open late at night. I think they would be open to like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So if we had the opportunity, we'd sneak down to Amoeba and check it out. I mean, the prices are a little high, you know, sure. But then again, you're in LA, you know, so
what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. It's a two-story store. So it was pretty cool to check it out, you know, the first couple times that I was in Hollywood.
Sounds like an old Tower Record. Did you ever go to Tower Records?
Oh, yeah.
Tower was the best in New York. They had a few of them.
Yeah, we had a Virgin in Chicago that was a two-level store as well, you know, and everything, you know, records, CDs.
Awesome.
You know, Media Central, I mean, really, you know. No, James. Sorry, but
that is not happening.
IR will not be on two legs at a time soon. Right?
Nope. Not happening.
Let them hang out with Dickie Dolan.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Yeah, day trip. I had a blast going through Amoeba Record Store. Yeah, they've got tons. They sure do. Yep. So, what were you going to say, Andy?
No, just say so. Flaming Pie next Wednesday, the 24th. And then the next one after that, we will rank the non-album tracks
right.
of the 90s to close out the month of March for the ranking stuff.
Gotcha.
The ranking stuff. So the way we're going right now, this takes us up to about the middle of May.
Right.
I think with the ranking the track series. Right. Yeah. Andy, you're going to get McCartney 3 Imagine. No, I am not. I'm not touching one copy of that album.
I thought you pre-ordered one.
No, I told you that today. No, I couldn't care less about that record, the artist doing it. I have 7 copies in there, enough. Some of them I didn't even open yet, of McCartney 3. That's enough. I don't care about who else is doing the songs. Maybe the one Beck track, you know, that Beck does Find My Way. Maybe that one. The other ones, I've never heard of the artist. I couldn't care less about any of them.
Fair
I
want
to hear them. I'm going to put them on.
Fair enough. Susan got the suitcase, so right on.
Oh, Susan got it too?
Yeah, Susan. She also got the big barn box too. So yeah. I love it.
Ram on, baby.
Yep, I am
Tom's
the man.
Tom is the man. Macamania.
Yeah, the Macamania is Richard.
Oh, Dolan. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Some of these code names and crap. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I'm still learning everybody's names.
Oh, my God. You know. All these names, but whatever.
Right. So everybody, thank you for being here once again. We really appreciate it. Please, if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to our channel. We'd really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you next week, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's what makes it 5 p.m. Pacific, you know. So,
but now with the time difference.
Yeah, exactly. So we had a great time. Andy, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Not much, no. Chug along, and thank you, everybody, for the comments. I'm glad there were no tech issues tonight. Everybody would pop right on with the chat, and the signal was good. And, thank you for watching. And if you haven't subbed, please do. And if you haven't, please just share. We're trying to get to that magic number of 1,000. So thank you for everybody for tuning in. Tom and I have had a load of fun doing this since we started this little sideshow in November. And a couple people have asked real quick, too. about like this being available as an audio form. I had some friends ask me about that. We're dropping these as audio podcasts once a month on Podbean. So like if you follow our Podbean page, you'll see we've dropped on the first Saturday of every month, we drop an audio version of the ranking of the tracks.
Right.
So we, I think, what are we up to now?
April, we'll have the audio version of Red Rose Speedway ranking the tracks.
Right. So I know a lot of, so that's just how we're doing it. They're always archived because a lot of people said, oh, they listen to us when they're driving the car. And like, if they have if they have their GPS on or whatever, and they're listening to us on YouTube, they can't because it messes it up. But if they're listening to it like as a podcast, it'll pause the podcast and then resume their direction. So a lot of people reached out to me. I said, well, that's how we drop them. And, you know, but I mean, they're archived, so you can watch them on YouTube at your convenience. So,
right. Great.
So thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here. So once again,